Want to take up the items that we pulled?
Let's take 172. Sorry, 173.
Amend the Arts Education and Access Income Tax Code to add a definition for charter schools to include those charter schools where the school district is the fiscal agent and delete the reference to names and addresses of taxpayers not being confidential.
Okay, Mr. Lanham, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the Revenue Division of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. Joining me is Ken McGarr from the City Attorney's Office and Terry Williams from my office. Before I summarize the ordinance before you today, let me take a moment to apologize for first not putting this on the regular agenda. I assure you there was no secret hidden agenda from the Revenue Division. It was a garden variety human error, and it was my error, and I apologize for that. The ordinance before you today provides arts tax funding for two charter schools that previously were not funded under the arts tax, Southwest and Ivy. And Terry Williams will briefly summarize that piece of the ordinance in a moment. The piece of the ordinance that I'd like to discuss is the confidentiality provisions around providing the names and addresses of payers of the arts tax. Really, it's a basic issue of fairness and parity with other taxing jurisdictions' rules, the IRS, the Oregon Department of Revenue, and any other taxing jurisdiction that we're aware of in the country does not provide the name and address of personal income taxpayers on demand. So this change basically moves our local arts taxpayers into that same group and enjoy that same privacy and protection. Under Oregon law, ORS 192 concerning public records, requests have a personal privacy exemption that we are currently having trouble asserting with our code language that says that we affirmatively will release information that we probably shouldn't be releasing. Disclosing taxpayer information is problematic for a number of reasons. One is that variations or errors in the data will cause people's names to appear on a list of 400,000 plus people in the wrong place, which then allows their neighbors or friends and family to conclude that they didn't pay the tax when in fact they did. We don't think that's an outcome that's equitable. Exempt taxpayers currently have no obligation to pay the tax. If their name is released with a group of people that supposedly paid the tax, that wouldn't be correct. Not releasing their information allows third party to conclude that they are somehow a scofflaw. So for those reasons, it's just another reason that we don't believe that this information should be released. And of course, we can't release that in a third category of exempt because that then gets to the disclosure of confidential financial information. Another problem with releasing this information, frankly, is it creates a treasure trove of data for marketers and worse, may help identity thieves connect the dots on our local taxpayers. Victims of domestic violence that have court orders and an order for privacy of their data, if those court orders are not timely received or timely entered or correctly entered into the database, we could have a problem there. So for all those reasons, and for basic fairness, we're asking you to put Portland Arts taxpayers in the same group as other taxpayers with regard to confidentiality. I think one question that would be fair to ask is why is this language in our code in the first place? And the answer is that we, in 2012, when this ordinance was put together, we pulled in the confidentiality provision of our business income tax law. In that context, such disclosure makes some sense so that people can understand that they're working with a business that is compliant with local law. But in the context of individuals, certainly for a $35 tax, we just don't think it's appropriate. So I will stop there, and I can take questions on that piece, or we can move to Terry if you'd like to hear about the charter schools.
So were we not, maybe this is Ken, didn't District Attorney Rod Underhill say we have to disclose this information?
Well, so it's kind of a two-part question because the public records requests go back. There were two of them. In the spring, there was one for the names and addresses of people who paid the tax. And based on the language in the code, we felt like we couldn't make a good faith argument that we weren't going to turn that over because our code says it doesn't prohibit it. So we gave that information out. Subsequently, we got a request for information for the notices that have been sent to people who didn't pay the tax and a list of people who'd received late fees and penalties. At that point, we made a couple of different arguments because those are a little more closely tied to financial information. As Thomas noted, people who didn't pay the tax have exemptions and reasons for that that are based on financial information. So we made arguments regarding that. What the district attorney said was, well, if the request is narrowed to just the names and addresses of those who didn't pay the tax, you really don't have an argument because you've already released the names and addresses of those who did pay the tax. So that's essentially what the district attorney said. So we're kind of trying to fix that piece of the code, which is we do think this is personal private information and the personal privacy exemption should apply. It's hard to make that argument so long as this section exists. The second piece of that is that we think that, similar to the Department of Revenue and the IRS, that certain confidentiality provisions should be given weight under a different exemption in the public records law, which applies to things that are otherwise exempt under other Oregon law. And the district attorney really didn't address that situation because he said he didn't have to in this case. So that's a roundabout way of answering your question, but I think we were kind of put in a box by the nature of the fact that this language exists. And I agree with Thomas. It is more geared towards business license taxes than it is towards an individual taxpayer, which is a much more obviously personal, private situation.
And for Thomas, what is our current compliance rate with payment of the arts tax?
2012, the first year, is about 72%. 2013, the second year, is about 69%. And the most recent year is 68%. That sounds like compliance is going down, but recall, the longer we have to collect on a debt, the higher the compliance is. When you compare the 3 years at the same point in time after the due date, you actually find that compliance is going up, payments are going up. We've received more money in each year than we did in the previous year, both on a calendar year basis and a tax year basis. And we expect that trend to continue and accelerate this year.
How does that compare with our business license fee collection rate, just as a comparator?
On the business license tax side, we have a compliance rate that's estimated at about 90 to 93 or so percent at a point in time. Of course, with taxes, there's a fluctuation in the compliance rate measurement because of the seasonality of the deadline. And but that's the terminal rate that we currently think the business license tax is at. I would add a footnote to that, that we are receiving information from the IRS that may cause us to dramatically reassess the compliance rate once we've fully engaged with that information and compared it with our records.
So I guess my last question is, you know, given the compliance rate isn't all that great, it's been, what, 5 years we've had this in place?
This is, you know, the fourth year.
Yeah. Fourth year, okay. So maybe it's trending in the right direction, but that still seems, compared to business license fees, quite a differential. And while I'm not entirely comfortable about disclosing addresses, I do think there's something to be said for shaming value in publishing names of people that haven't paid the tax or people who have paid the tax, or allowing the media to do that. Do you believe that there is a value, merit, and shaming value?
No, I don't. We've gone back and forth over the years inside the Bureau about the value of that. And frankly, it creates potential liability for the city to post a name, names of people that we think didn't pay. We may have an incorrect record that then disparages someone inappropriately in that way. Also, generally speaking, it would just put us really out of step with any tax collection agency or most tax collection agencies. There are a few jurisdictions that publish that kind of information, Commissioner, but it's not the usual approach.
Thomas, let me jump in for a sec. One of the public interests that's been asserted is to have data about who's paying and who isn't. So if the council were to accept this ordinance, what kind of aggregate data are you able to give out in response to inquiries?
We would continue to publish all kinds of data. around compliance rate, around payments received, around the timeliness of payments received. We can issue reports about the number of collection actions taken. Virtually anything that you would be interested in hearing or the public would want to know about in terms of the administration of the tax, the expenses, where the disbursement's going, how many teachers are hired, all of that remains disclosable and open to the public.
To our council, one thing that struck me in the memo that we got was the state law and the federal law that's very explicit about privacy rights and says that a taxpayer's identity as well as an address is covered under the privacy protection. And do we know why at the state level and the federal law they struck that balance?
I don't. I could make some assumptions. I mean, part of it is that I think in the past taxpayer identity and taxpayer information has been used by members of the government itself to embarrass political opponents, to make political statements. I think there's that aspect of it. I have read literature, again, kind of dovetailing on what Thomas was talking about, that the publishing the names of scoff laws really is not helpful and potentially detrimental. So there is some literature from the IRS about there, but I think it's generally thought to be that this is the type of information that people consider to be private.
Do we know of any instance at the county level or in the regional area where information like this is disclosed by another governmental entity?
No, but we're the only local jurisdiction administering a personal income tax.
When Multnomah County had the iTax, was that information confidential or was it publicly disclosed?
It was confidential.
It was confidential.
You know, one of the things about, one of the challenges here is that when those of us up here, as by virtue of being public officials, have given up a lot of privacy. And I'll just give you an example. I came home the other night and found an intern from a newspaper camping on my front yard. And I asked the reporter and the photographer not to photograph my house and identifying areas. Now, the truth is you can go into the phone book or go on to Google and you can find all you want about my house. But what limited privacy I enjoy, I try to protect for a number of reasons, which I won't go into. And sure enough, someone broke into my garage, broke my lock and broke into my garage subsequent to the publication of that story. And again, we voluntarily run for these jobs and we give up a lot of privacy. But that event, particularly since I live alone, did cause me to sort of ponder the limits of privacy and what kind of privacy we should be protecting. So I appreciate the fact that in the information that you've given us, you've given us a body of law. And I guess since this is a first reading, I would be interested in knowing if there is an example out there in Oregon where some jurisdiction has taken a position contrary to what you're recommending here, because that would at least give us a comparator and we could inquire as to why. We have to balance interests. Again, the folks up here have given up most of their privacy. The people we serve have a different view of that, and I think we have to be careful.
Commissioner, I agree with that, and I believe that as public officials, we should be subject to greater scrutiny and that perhaps a single public records request to ask, have I paid my iTax, which, by the way, I mean, not my iTax, my arts tax, have not yet, but I will before the deadline. That's one thing. Asking for a blanket list of names of everybody in the community, I think privacy for the community is something that Portlanders cherish, and it's not unreasonable to ask, particularly for payment for the staff time, to get that kind of a volume of public information. So I'm veering towards supporting the proposal here. And another reason, even if you just publish names, the last time I checked, there were two other Amanda Fritzes in Portland, and I'm really sorry to them that they probably get all kinds of grief because they get mistaken for some of the evil things that the Oregonian says I've done.
There is also,
if you just publish names without addresses, that wouldn't necessarily help for people who don't have unique names.
Commissioner, there's also an irony that I'm struck by, which is there's a major candidate running for president who is under no obligation to release his tax returns and has, in fact, refused to. And we would, in fact, be applying a different standard to someone making a $35 tax payment in Portland than to someone who is a major candidate for president who is under no obligation to release his tax returns and who has the right to protect the privacy under federal law. And whether he has paid his taxes or not, no one is arguing that that information should be released because it's in the public interest. He's filed a tax return, and they're covered under a privacy. So this is something – I think this is a good conversation. I think one thing we have to avoid also is we have to avoid when we look at the balancing of a privacy versus public interest issue, bringing politics into the conversation. There have to be some bright lines, and we may, for example, want to bring some pressure to bear on people that don't pay their taxes, but we might say that same thing to people that don't pay their state taxes or their federal taxes or their child support or whatever, and I'm not aware that we release that information to shame them. So we have to consider that. We have to consider that and balance it.
Good discussion. Other questions?
I guess maybe this is for Commissioner Fish, but when Willamette Week publishes its annual list of water hogs, which is somewhat of a shaming thing, don't they have the addresses of those consumers? Isn't that public record? People have water bills?
So that
named address?
Yes. I think that is public record. And, you know, I'm not entirely familiar with that process, but yes.
I think Thomas's article yesterday, his op-ed, explained that because people, property taxes are public record. So
right.
That's similar to a place-based property tax rather than an income tax, which is more protected.
Yeah, it doesn't the Willamette Week story obviously impliedly correlates use to wealth and income because
right.
They choose frequent flyers. Of course, the Water Bureau, we say thank you to some of those frequent flyers because the more water we sell, the lower the rates for the rest of us. But, I mean, that's politically incorrect to say that. I think it is different because it's place, as Commissioner Fritz said, it's place based and it's like in the nature of a property tax. But I think that's a question for you to also ponder between now and next week. I appreciate Dan raising that.
So, colleagues, I would like to hear the explanation on the other piece of this, which is the charter schools. And I need to state on the record that I have a potential conflict of interest in that my future daughter-in-law works at the Ivy School. As a teacher, so there's that. On the other hand, it benefits the children of Portland rather than my daughter-in-law, my future daughter-in-law.
Unless she's an arts
Unless
teacher.
Unless she's an arts teacher. Okay.
She's not an arts teacher.
Okay. I'm Terry Williams, the Tax Division Manager for Revenue. As this whole program and process was crafted, we didn't know necessarily a lot about how charter schools worked. And we've come to learn that they can be sponsored by the district or by, if the district doesn't choose to sponsor one, they can be sponsored by the Oregon Education Department. We have two schools in the Portland Public School District, Ivy and Southwest, that are not actually sponsored by Portland Public Schools. They went through the state sponsorship. So in our definitions, when we wrote the code and the IGAs with the school districts, we never really defined those charter schools. So when we went to do it the very first time, and we have to get the data from the education department, we were told that Ivy and Southwest are not schools in Portland Public Schools. They are outside. And so that created this whole dynamic where under how we wrote the code and how we wrote our IGAs, that we couldn't then fund those two charter schools. It has been the Arts Oversight Committee's desire, and I think the intention that the charter schools in our six districts have funding. And so this ordinance is bringing in the definition of charter schools to allow charter schools that have been either sponsored by the district or by the state, provided that the district is the fiscal agent for that charter school to get the funding from the arts tax.
And colleagues, I did check in because I know we have Portland students who attend charter schools in schools outside of the Portland six schools, and indeed the language in the ordinance says that it's only those who are sponsored by one of the six school districts within the city of Portland that qualify under this change.
Yes, that's correct.
I apologize. You said earlier that the Arts Access and Oversight Committee reviewed this, and their recommendation is?
To include funding for the two charter schools, that this is what this ordinance does.
Two.
There's two, yes.
The others are already included, the other charter schools.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for any of our resource people here? Thank you all very much. Anyone else want to speak on this item?
We have two people signed up, okay. Crystal Alinsky and Brian Smith.
Okay, come on up. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Hales. Commissioners Fritz and Commissioner Salzman. My name is Brian Smith. I'm the parent of a fifth grader at Southwest Charter School. I'm also a board member for Southwest Charter School. And I'm here. I'll be brief. I just want to say thank you very much for considering this because I think it is an important step towards maintaining the trust of the voters who passed the arts tax. And when we brought this to you, particularly Mayor Hales and Commissioner Salzman, I want to thank you in particular for championing this issue to help us get us here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you bringing it to our attention.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. Again, I'm going to side with on this confidentiality issue. I'm going to side with DA Rod Underhill. In my opinion is that when this vote took place is that if people were unaware of this, then this really puts an issue on this legitimacy of this art tax. And what I want to make very clear here, if somebody voted to approve this, yet they were unaware that their confidential information would be disclosed in what they think is an unreasonable manner, then I have some real issues with this. And I'm going to stand by Rod Underhill to see where this is going to end up going. And in my opinion, if people want to step forward and say, I'm not going to pay the tax because of this, I'm going to see what Rod Underhill has to say on this. Now, an issue on this, the charter school funding, again, this was in the code. So if it's state-sponsored charter school and it states that this tax should not apply to that charter school, in my opinion, it should not apply. And it's very clear. Now, you're coming back and you're saying you're going to make a district as the fiscal agent of one of these schools. I don't know. Again, I think your code is very clear. And public Portland schools have picked up on those two charter schools to make sure they had funding. And they should continue to fund those two schools as though they've done in the past on this. And let's not start making these type of code changes when the public is unaware of exactly what they're getting into here. I really don't like that after the fact. And the reality is my question on this overall arts tax. If people would have been made aware of upfront that their financial information could be disclosed to the public, would they have approved this tax? And if not, maybe that's the reason why they weren't quite made clear of it from the beginning. And I'd like to have this investigated and looked at very close again from the DA, Rod Underhill, on this situation, because I don't like the way it looks. And I want this art tax to be looked at very close from the DA, Rod Underhill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Thank you all very much. This passes the second reading next week.